if you haven't allowed yourself to truly winter, to step away, to slow down, to rest, to replenish, to get inspired by life again, do the radical act and do the unfashionable thing and do it now. Hey guys, what's up and welcome back to another coffee talk. I am here to talk to you today about the concept of wintering. Have you ever heard of this term before? I am reading a book called Wintering, and it is actually written by Catherine May. I'm reading it with my book club, so I haven't actually finished the book, but I really want to talk about it today. I want to talk about the idea or the concept behind what wintering even is, and I feel like it's such a perfect chat, especially for this week. We are in the midweek of January. We still have weeks of winter ahead of us. If you're in the Southern Hemisphere, you might want to save this chat for 6 months from now, but if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, we are smack dab in the middle of winter. And where I live, this is where winter really starts to hit the hardest. Like, it's been majority gray. Today is a very sunny day, so I'm in a really good mood, and it's been really easy for me to get my things done and keep a generally stable mood. But the majority of the other days of winter tend to be very gray, tend to be very cold. It is also very cold today too. And just, I feel like there's this pressure, especially going into January and going into a new year, that we need to be doing instead of just resting. So I want to talk about wintering right now because I feel like it has been such a breath of fresh air in the middle of winter. And it's a concept that I'm really trying to lean into, but I want to talk about the difficulties of leaning into this season and leaning into this concept, but also the benefits and just what I've learned so far. And I'm going to read some quotes from the book too, because it's such a well-written book and I'm really enjoying it. Definitely get your hands on it if you can. So, first and foremost, I am drinking a peppermint latte today, very in season with the winter time. And this is just a little half calf. I definitely don't need as much caffeine. In fact, one thing that I do feel like I have aligned really well with the winter season or the concept of wintering is that I've been slowing down my role a lot on a lot of the things that I feel like I cling to for a sense of productivity and energy, and caffeine is one of them. So I have strictly stuck to either decaf or half calf. Now I make Nespressos at home, and the half calf is usually the one I'll go for, but I've also been able to get by on decaf lately. So that has been great. And while it was really hard for the first few weeks that I was doing it, now that I've actually gotten used to it, my body has adjusted for the amount of caffeine that it's getting, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm sleeping a lot better. And in general, I actually don't find I get that crash in the middle of the day that I used to get. And that kind of leads us into like, what exactly is wintering? And there's a couple different ways that you could look at this. I can read exactly what Catherine May, the author of the book Wintering, calls it. Actually, I did annotate it, so let me just find it real quick.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So here's just a couple quotes from the book, and we'll use these quotes to really par our conversation today. In our relentlessly busy contemporary world, we are forever trying to defer the onset of winter. We don't ever dare to feel its full bite, and we don't dare to show the way that it ravages us. A sharp wintering sometimes would do us good. We must learn to invite winter in. We may never choose to winter, but we can choose to how. Not to how, by the way. That's just meant to say, but we can choose how. I'm terrible at reading things out loud. So this didn't get to the heart of winter, but I do want to come back to this idea that we don't have a choice when we winter, but we can choose how we winter. And I feel like that's such a good, almost like thesis for today's conversation. But I want to read a couple more quotes. This is just the introductory chapter of the book. And I'm skipping some lines, so definitely check it out. Plants and animals don't fight the winter. They don't pretend it's not happening and attempt to carry on living the same lives that they lived in the summer. They prepare. They adapt. They perform extraordinary acts of metamorphosis to get them through. Winter is a time of withdrawing from the world, maximizing scant resources, carrying out acts of brutal efficiency, and vanishing from sight. But that's where the transformation occurs. Winter is not the death of the life cycle, but its crucible. It's a time for reflection, recuperation, for slow replenishment, for putting your house in order. Doing those deeply unfashionable things, slowing down, letting your spare time expand, getting enough sleep, resting, these are radical acts these days, but they are essential. This is a crossroads we all know, a moment when you need to shed a skin, and if you do, you'll expose all those painful nerve endings and feel so raw that you'll need to take care of yourself for a while. If you don't, then that old skin will harden around you. So that is the concept of what wintering is. And winter is that season that really invites us or gives us the opportunity to do exactly that. Sometimes we don't get to choose. Sometimes we have to go into a state of winter, but also, interestingly enough, I think that it is a very common thing to see, like human beings, us in general, we do tend to push off this idea of wintering. We do tend to push off rest. We push off time to ourselves. We push off the ability to slow down. And I'm not saying that we push that off as a flaw or a fault. It's, in my observance, I think it's getting harder and harder to allow ourselves the ability to winter, because if anybody has also read the book Mindset, I read it years ago now, but it's coming to my mind right now. It's this idea of the mindset of scarcity or lack versus the mindset of abundance. And I think that the way that the world is moving right now and society is moving right now is creating this like detrimental state of lack and this detrimental state of insufficiency that we feel. It's not even that we feel, that we know. It's very difficult for most people right now to slow down. If anything, all I'm seeing everywhere I go, everywhere online, offline, are a lot of survival mode, a lot of I don't know how we'll get through, so I've got to make sure that I start stocking up now kind of thing. Like, I don't think that the average person is making enough money to sustain a living, to buy a home, especially the generations of millennials and Gen Z. I don't think that we're seeing a very prosperous, abundant future for the younger generations. And because of this, the amount of stress and anxiety that that causes is pushing a lot of overproductivity, a lot of I mean, a lot of scarcity, a lot of lack mindset, a lot of, and again, this makes sense from like a very fundamental survival standpoint, but a lot of self focus. Like you, when you can't, it's the oxygen mask in the plane. You have to put your own mask on before you can put on someone else's. And I think that in the world right now, we're seeing a lot of fear of, well, how do we get by another year? How do we get by more inflation? How do we get by just things being more and more difficult? You know, how do we make it? And because of that anxiety and that fear and that scarcity and that feeling of lack, like there's not enough for everybody. Everybody's putting on their own oxygen mask, and it's creating this ripple effect where not only are we so worried and focused on putting on our own oxygen mask, but we're not thinking about putting or helping anybody else do their own, right? Again, that's not, I think, a flaw or a fault of society. I mean, obviously in a rose-colored world, rose-colored glasses world, we would be able to surpass our circumstances to still care for others. But when it really does boil down to survival, people do take care of themselves and then take care of their own. So that got off topic a little bit. That was a bit of a tangent, but this is just to come back to saying that I think that it's becoming increasingly more difficult to winter, and it gets to a point, let me know if anybody relates to this. Do you ever go through so much and you just keep powering through and you keep powering through, and finally you break? And the thing that breaks you tends to be smaller than the thing that you've actually been carrying. So whether you've surpassed death or loss or grief or a broken heart or illness, or I mean, there's so many things that we can go through, mental illness, we can go through physical illness, whether you go through loss of friendships, whether you go through the growing pains of change, and or you feel like you've lost something you once had, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a relationship. It could have been a passion you had, or a gift you felt you had, or a hobby, or an interest, or a job, or I'm just reeling off so many things that we can all experience and go through. But you push it down and you push it down because there isn't space to winter. And wintering is really taking that time to slow down and process and move through the difficulties of life. I mean, I don't even know if we've, I know I personally haven't. Let me know if you have. I want to hear some other perspectives on this. Have you even fully processed what happened with the pandemic? There was a post by the holistic psychologist, if anybody follows them on Instagram, that I found so interesting to read through the comments of, because they introduced this conversation on Instagram to talk about how there was so much emphasis post-pandemic to get back to normal, that it's almost like in any other traumatic situation, when you just focus on getting back to normal without ever actually taking the time, because yes, again, survivally, from a survival standpoint, yeah, we want to get back to normal because this hurts. This is so uncomfortable. We feel this pain. We feel this suffering. And then we get back to normal. It becomes really easy to just kind of coast forward and not look backwards, and to suppress and repress what we've gone through and not actually allow it to come up and to move through us, to process it through our bodies. And in my belief, in my experience, and from the things that I've learned from people that have stood and lived and, you know, shared their wisdom long, long before me, it seems like when we don't process specifically emotions, hard emotions, that energy gets trapped in our bodies and turns into different types of illnesses and ailments. And so this is all boiling back to this idea that wintering is almost a privilege at this point. And that is so sad. It is sad to think that it is not only one, very difficult to slow down and winter. Two, it goes against the very fabric of the culture and society that we are currently living in. But three, it's not even an option for a lot of people to actually slow down in winter. It is not an option, and this is by no means me trying to contrast and compare the different ways that people don't have a choice to winter, but I just want to use an example that I can use because it's an experience that I have. In the field that I work in, content creation, I work in content creation, specifically in the world of podcasts and YouTube videos, and also supporting content in other realms of social media, mostly Instagram. And if I wanted to genuinely winter, like this idea of taking a step back and really pausing and really stopping, you lose your momentum like a lot. In fact, I have since moving slowed down quite a bit, and I've seen the repercussions of it. I have seen what happens when you no longer post a lot of quantity and also quality. And the thing is, when it comes to things like content, I think you actually can post both quantity and quality at the same time. But I think when the focus is on quantity and just trying so hard to get as much out there, because in the world of social media, you have to keep people's attention, especially now in such an oversaturated market and in such an oversaturated world. When you live by that game, and that's the game you have to play in this world, you lose quality. And also when you don't ever actually take time in any field of creation, not just content creation, in any form of art or creation or imagination or inspiration, anything that you are pulling from your inside to create in your life on the outside, whether you're sharing it with others or not, whether you're a painter or a writer or a video maker or a podcast creator, if you don't take the time to slow down and to replenish yourself and to winter and get re-inspired, then the quality of your work vastly declines, again, in my experience and in my opinion. So another great example, when I had my son, when I had Easton, it was September of 2022, I didn't really take an actual maternity leave. Now, that's also just a trade-off with my job. I love my job, so I'm not complaining by any means, but there is no coverage. There is no maternity leave from social media. So again, if you just stop creating, then you stop creating and you have no source of income anymore. Like you get passive income, but it's not very much in terms of the content you have that's already out there. You need to continue to create new and exciting and enticing content in order to continue to make an income in this career. So there is really no option to stop. There is definitely no option for someone to step in for you. And in a way, when I read this book and I think about the amount of things that I've suppressed or pushed away or repressed or just powered through, it makes me a little, let me pitch this outwards actually, because this is making it a lot about me. When you think about the amount of times in your life where you were warranted, where your intuition, your gut said, oh wow, that was a lot to carry, that was a lot to go through, that was a lot to push through. Now I need to stop, I need to break, I need to rest, I need to process what I just experienced, and I need some time to step away from the world. When you think of how many times that maybe you didn't even fully experience that from your intuition, but there was this little whisper of just, whew, I need a break, and you couldn't, or you didn't, or you powered through. How does it make you feel when you think about all those times and how every single time that we push past that need? I mean, nature does it naturally. Nature takes its break no matter the season it's had before. It moves into the next season, no questions asked. At least the climate that I live in, the trees here can't bear their leaves all year round. They need each step of the process in order to flourish again the following year. And if you think of us, and we're not that far, we're actually not separated from nature at all, but we're definitely not that far separated from the trees and the animals outside. We ourselves also need time to shed our leaves, to let go and move through what we've gone through in a year or a season in order to have a flourishing season again in the future. And instead, very much like Catherine May says in her book, we live in this perpetual need to stay in our seasons of summer and constantly be face forward to the world and constantly be outputting and giving and doing instead of resting. And again, it makes me angry, if I'm being honest with you, that when I have these conversations, it's not something that everyone can listen to and go, yeah, okay, I'm going to go do that. Because again, it comes down to survival mode and this idea that a lot of us don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. Odds are, if you're listening, you might not have a choice. Now, that's not to be cynical, just to say that there's certain things that we need to do to function in our society. We are the only living animal on this earth that has to work to exist, that has to pay to live. And so that's something that we can't necessarily change overnight. And I'm not, maybe we don't have to change it. I think that there are some pros to that as well. But it is an interesting concept that we don't normally take the chance to actually winter, to actually slow down until it's almost too late or it's forced upon us from things like illness or from things like breakdowns or genuinely losing your way and having no way forward. And suddenly you're pushed onto your butt and you're forced, whether it's through depression, whether it's through grief or through loss, or again, illness of the mental or physical, to winter. So it's a very interesting book to read, and going through her stories has been really enlightening, because in the process of Catherine May's, the author's, wintering, it does come about for her through an illness, and she does reflect on how it's the first time she really actually does lean in to that season. And it comes back to that quote that I read from the introduction as well, that sometimes we don't choose when we winter, but we can choose how. And also, again, that choice, that circle of control that we do have over how we winter, can include the times where we need to winter, but we can't fully go into a state of hibernation and rest. Like, we can't fully shut our doors away from the world. We can't fully step away. But we can slow down, and we can find other ways to prioritize things like rest, to prioritize things like filling back up our cups. So what that would look like for every single person would obviously be a little bit different. But it is definitely something that is within our realm of control, even if we can't do it to 110%. We can still do it 80%, 90%, and still reap some of those benefits.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations, both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
So what does wintering actually look like? Let's get to the inspirational part of this conversation where we can all walk away and start doing some of our own wintering in our day-to-day, like incorporate it right here, right now, today. I'll rephrase or reword, sorry, reread. Can't talk. I'll reread the quote that I said earlier because I feel like this perfectly defines it. Wintering is doing those deeply unfashionable things, slowing down, letting your spare time expand, getting enough sleep, and resting. These are radical acts these days, but they are essential. And a little earlier, she also said, it's a time for reflection, for recuperation, for slow replenishment, and for putting your house in order. One of the symptoms of constantly trying to stay in our metaphoric state of summer is that we try to do all things all the time. Like, think of it. Do you feel like you have to check all of the boxes in each of these areas of your life? Your social life, your relationships, your friendships, your family, your internal world, your internal life, or your self-care, your hobbies, your interests, your habits, your health, your home, your career, your job, your passions, your travel, your adventures. Do you feel like you are constantly needing to find a way to balance all of these things all of the time? What if the reason why all of us struggle with this sense of balance is because we're not meant to check all of these boxes in every single season? What if the season of winter, for instance, calls us to retreat in from socialization, retreat in from events? And that might be different for different people. Maybe some people actually feel more inclined to go out and be forward facing in the winter and actually seclude a bit more in seasons like summer or spring. Again, take this and make of it what you will in a way that's going to best benefit you as an individual, unique person experiencing the planet and experiencing life and all of its seasons. But like, what if in this season you allow yourself the permission to actually not feel like relationships or your social life has to be on the plate at all? What if you pick it back up in the spring? What if you can even make plans with people like, yeah, okay, like let's have a girls' weekend in the summer this year. And you let that be what it is. And you trust that just because we can go a little bit of time without doing or connecting or creating doesn't mean that we won't get back to those places. What if, and this can be hard and I can really empathize with this because I find it really hard, but what if we took a season off from creating and we instead got inspired and allowed ourselves to, even if you do create, create for fun, if creating is what you do for a living? Again, that can be really hard because when a lot of us don't have a chance or a choice to really take a break from our careers or our jobs, right? But just more so to say, what if you do what you have to and nothing more? You make it essential. You only do what is essential and you do nothing more for a little while. And you know that there will come another season where you're able to create and just like overflow from this state because of the rest you take now. And what if, bear with me here, what if this is a season of lessons, like less is more when it comes to habits and even including your health? I feel like it is so common to kick off a year and we see a lot of like health resolutions and a lot of health related goals or fitness related resolutions and goals. And it makes a lot of sense because we think that if we start a year one way, then that's almost like that perfectionism mindset that if we just keep it perfect from the start of the year, then that gets to carry throughout the whole year. But what if we don't do that? What if prioritizing our health and fitness is actually prioritizing our rest over our movement? What if it comes down to, I mean, one of the things she said that I really, really loved was this idea of getting your house in order. What if we eat foods that are nourishing and that are warm to our bodies and make us feel full and good and cozy and grounded, whatever that looks like or sounds like or materializes in your mind to you? What if this season we only prioritize balancing a few things, knowing that there's going to be other seasons where we pick up different parts of life and put the parts that we're focused on right now down for a little bit? It's a concept that I don't know necessarily how to practice yet. I'm only preaching right now, which I would love to learn how to practice. I'm trying to learn how to practice, but it is one that I think does lean into the actual answer of how we balance better in the modern age, is that we don't try to do it all and have it all checked off every single season, every month, every day, every week. We allow ourselves to put things down. We allow ourselves to say no to certain aspects of life that aren't because we don't value them or see them as important pillars of life and health and wellness and wholeness and thriving, but because it actually becomes counterintuitive when the things that are supposed to make us feel healthy and well and whole and thrive end up stressing us out and overbearing, like they become, our plates become too full, that we're not actually even enjoying the things that we're supposed to be doing in order to feel good. And we're not actually doing them fully or wholeheartedly, or we're exhausted and we're not really experiencing our lives. We're just doing. When I think about what it actually means to live the art of cozy living or the art of winter and really lean into it. And these are a couple things that she has said in the book, but just a couple things that also come to mind when I close my eyes. And if I were to like meditate on what does winter look like, if I were to really lean into the symbolism of the season, it would be a lot of rest. I mean, I love the idea. I don't think I can do it with a kid at home, but I love the idea of going into rest mode when the sun goes down and only coming out of rest mode when the sun comes up. Now that doesn't necessarily mean sleeping that whole time, but I mean getting my meal in and my dinner in a little bit earlier, like as the sun is going down, and then allowing all of those other hours not to be about getting things done off a list, but to be about slow, steady relaxation, spending quality time at home and spending quality time with the loved ones that we have and spending quality time reading or writing, or just really resting in the other ways that we can rest, but definitely including sleep as well. I think about stocking my home, and that comes from that idea of like hibernation, you know, filling up your pantry with staples that can make really nourishing stews and soups and bowls and stir fries, and the staples that you would need to be able to bake at home, or to just again create these meals that are with full love and full intention for your body and for anybody else you might be feeding. I think of being able to sit in a warm sweater and cozy socks by a fire, and to, even if I am working, to work at a pace where I don't feel like I am juggling five tasks at once, where I can actually slowly melt into the one task at hand and let that task slowly fade into the next. This is actually a really great prompt if anybody wants to use it as like a writing prompt or a reflection prompt or a comment prompt. Like, I would love to hear what a slow and restful and replenishing winter would look like to you and would be like for you. And you don't have to make it practical. I mean, genuinely, if there were no rules, what would it look like? You can leave a little bit of your common day to day. Like I said, I have a toddler at home. I do have responsibilities at work that I need to tend to, but how can we factor those things into this idea of rest and wintering? And what does our day look like when we actually do start to reform it around that concept? Again, and I feel like I say this every time, which is hilarious because my podcast is literally called Coffee Talk. It's all about talking. But I think that these things are a lot easier to say, and then it becomes a little different in practice and in doing. That's not to say that it's impossible, but just to say that it can be really easy to dream these things. It can be really easy to write these things down or say them out loud, but it's a whole other thing to actually put them into practice. And I also am really learning the quality and the importance of knowing exactly what, or having exactly what I'm focused on be clean, clear, and cut dry so I can actually fully tap into it. By that, I mean, for a little while, and I would love to be one of those people that could live like this, but for a little while over the holidays, I was really just going with the flow, and that going with the flow did not feel good to me at all. I didn't know, and I couldn't actually really fully rest when I was resting. I couldn't really fully work when I was working because I didn't have designated times for things. And again, that kind of sounds like it's leaning a little far into, okay, productivity, but it's not really that. It's more so, okay, so if I'm going to prioritize rest during the sundown hours, what, and it could be like a little menu, what goes on my list of things that I consider to be restful, that when the sun goes down, dinner's done, okay, what am I gonna do right now? I can just take a little peek at the list and take whatever one calls to me. Just having some guidance, maybe is the right way to put it, around how you actually are going to prioritize these things if this is calling to you. I think that's super important in order to really reap the full benefit and allow yourself to not feel lost in the resting process. Or I just, do you know that feeling where you don't know what to do? And so you don't really do a whole lot of anything and it doesn't feel good. That's the feeling that I don't want to have in this wintering process. I want to know what I'm doing, but I don't want it to feel like it's a have to do, or even if it is something I have to do, I don't want it to feel like it's competing with 10 other tasks. And I don't want it to feel like it's requiring more energy than I have, or than I'm banking and refilling my cup with right now. So there are, at least in my mind, 6 more weeks, maybe 7 more weeks of winter. February is a short month, but we are passing over the halfway mark of January, which leaves us about a month and a half left of the winter time. And I really want to soak it up for what it's worth. I really do want to lean further and further into what I'm learning from this book. I really cannot recommend it enough. Do you not want to come out of this season and move into spring and summer and genuinely, wholeheartedly, with your full body, feel like you have the resources to really pour yourself into something, be it a project, be it a new chapter of your life, be it your work or your passions or your relationships or whatever it is that you're really focused on, whatever is your big goal for this year? Do you want to feel like you are fully able to actually dedicate yourself to whatever it is that calls to you? Because I don't think it's genuinely possible. I don't think we're capable of blooming, if I'm going to continue with the metaphors of nature, I don't think we're going to be capable of blooming in the summer if we don't first allow ourselves to hibernate in the winter and really actually fill back up the resources that winter offers, even if we don't take it, in order to actually fulfill those later seasons. I know if I try and go hard right now, I will burn out by spring, summer, and I will feel like crap the rest of the year, because I'll feel like even if I started the year hard, I started sprinting, and you don't sprint through a marathon, you know, you go slow and steady. And that is what this season is looking like. And that is the concept of wintering, if you've never heard of it. And if you have, let me know your thoughts. Did I miss anything? Is there anybody that wants to add a little bit of 2 cents or some more wisdom or some other perspectives on the concept or term wintering or the art of slow and cozy living in the winter seasons? I definitely feel like coming back to this idea too, because I get this question a lot and I've experienced this myself, this idea of seasonal depression or getting really low in the winter time. Like, tell me again that is not our body's really unique and intelligent way of begging us to slow down, and we act as if it is a bad thing. And I'm not saying that experiencing seasonal depression isn't uncomfortable or isn't a bad thing, but just more so that, okay, let me put it this way. The author talks about how she woke up in a manic state in the middle of the night, just fretting over every single anxiety that doesn't meet her in the day. It only meets her in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. to be particular, which is funny because then is that not common? Is it not 3 a.m. every time you wake up in the middle of the night and you're just suddenly plagued with every single worry and thought that could possibly eat you alive at that time and at that hour? And she's, instead of sitting there and just soaking in her anxiety, she decides to use it as her own sacred time, which long before the industrial era, this was a thing that people commonly did, is that sleep was split up into 2 sleep stages where you would sleep for a little bit and then you'd wake up for an hour or two and a lot of people would make love. A lot of people would spend time with their neighbors or their friends or would spend time with family by candlelight and would spend this time with themselves, even reflecting and reading or journaling and doing these connecting, these bonding things either with others or themselves before going back to bed and then waking up to start a fresh new day. She almost like reclaims it. And when she wakes up in the middle of the night and she is full of anxiety, she decides to spin it on his head and use it as sacred time. And she goes downstairs and she pulls out her journal and she starts writing and she lights a candle and she like makes it this sacred time to spend with herself. So I'm using that as a metaphor for if anybody does go through experiences of getting really low, really lethargic, really down, really melancholy, or just actually genuinely experiencing things like seasonal depression. If you need it, I feel like I always have to make that disclaimer, seek out help if it's really, really bad. In my experience, when I do get really low in the winter, it's not bad enough that I need to go to a doctor, but it's bad enough that I feel bad. I feel bad about myself. I'll feel bad about like I'm not doing enough. And like it'll seem, especially in today's day with social media, like everybody else is doing all of this stuff. And I'm just kind of sitting around wallowing and sitting around with no motivation or whatever it is. And what if we did what the author did and we claim that as sacred time, you claim it as a sacred season with yourself. And instead of feeling badly about feeling low energy, low mood, whatever it is, you actually allow yourself, you meet yourself there and you turn it into sacred time with yourself. And you turn that time, go social media free if it makes you feel like shit. Go into your hibernation station and just every spare time you have, read. It's not doing anything. You might not feel it's doing anything in terms of the productivity of your life. Good. It's refilling your inspiration bank. It's allowing yourself to dream again. Get excited about something that has no relevancy and no efficiency for you in your life, you know? So yeah, I don't know why I just went on that last little tangent there, but actually I do. I think it's because it is so common to get into those pockets in the wintertime. So if you have pushed off, repressed, suppressed any experiences in the last few years or the last few months or the last year even, and you never felt it, if you haven't allowed yourself to truly winter, to step away, to slow down, to rest, to replenish, to get inspired by life again, to meet yourself exactly where you are in sometimes your darkest corners and just be with yourself there, or to prioritize having that sacred time with yourself or with your closest loved ones, then do the radical act and do the unfashionable thing and do it now. Because we only have a few more weeks left of winter, and that's not to push us into like, rush, but just more so to say that now that opportunity is being presented. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere of the world, you are being presented with a doorway, with an invitation to winter, to allow yourself to shut down, to reboot, to replenish, in whatever fashion that looks like to you. And it's not the fashionable thing, and there is going to be discomfort with it. I know there is, I experience it, of what do you mean? What if all these other people are creating and posting, what if I slow down? What if I stop? What will that mean? I don't know. Allow yourself to find out. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world, I can tell you that. And you will likely feel a lot better and a lot more ready to be and do and create and thrive in the spring, summer, when it's time to really sprout and it's time to really bloom. So, and then, oh gosh, we haven't even included the concept of fall, when it's time to reap the abundance of our ability to move through our own internal seasons, you know? So that's my thought process of the day. That's my talk of the day. I would love to hear your thoughts on the topic. Definitely pick up the book. I know I'm starting to repeat myself a million times now, so I'm going to shut this down. But let me know how you're going to be wintering for the rest of this season. And without further ado, if you have any other topics you'd like to talk about this winter, because I don't want to veer too far from the course, if this is what we're all doing, if we're all committing to wintering, then I don't want these talks to be leaning too far into motivation, at least not till the springtime. So let me know anything else you guys want to talk about over these next few weeks, and I will chat with all of you guys next week. Bye, everyone.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.